Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Athos Life podcast. My name is Giovanni, and I am here with Joe Stout. Today, we have a great topic. We're going to be talking about building health through community. And I think that's in today's like politically charged and like almost antisocial culture. That's like a super big topic. And so the focus that I want to focus on, especially, is for men and why it's important for men to have a strong community and to build each other up and challenge each other physically, mentally, and spiritually, and all those types of things. With a couple things here. In 2023, only 46% of adults in America under 30 feel connected to other Americans. That's compared to 83% of those 65 and older. So this is particularly like a younger issue.
Yeah.
And NIH posted this as well, a study by Cigna. In 2020, more than 3 in 5 Americans feel lonely, with more and more people reporting feelings of being left out, being poorly understood, or lacking companionship. The original study was done in 2018, and that was a 13% increase by 2020. So just in 2 years, and probably my COVID, I don't know what time they did that. January. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's before COVID, right?
Yeah, it's much worse now.
Yeah, it's probably much worse now. So just kind of that idea of this feelings of loneliness, and we're going to go into like why all that can happen. But the biggest thing that we're going to try and focus on is how we can fix that and why it's so important that we do have like a healthy community and that we're challenging each other. Yep. Proverbs 27:17 speaks to this. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And just that brotherhood, that bond that we can have with each other improves our discipline, our commitment, gives us a purpose and helps us like carry on. Companionship is essential. Kind of want to start with where we were, where we are now, and how do we fix it? So, Joe, I don't, if you have any thoughts here to start off with.
It's one of the interesting things about the world we live in now. I was born in the 80s, so I'm kind of like an old millennial. And I remember when I was a kid, maybe kind of an older teenager, I remember reality shows on TV were like the rage. I don't know, maybe they still are. But it was one of those bizarre things where you had literally the least realistic show on TV being called a reality show.
Yeah.
And it was all scripted, it was all fake, and it was, as the cool kid said, it was all fake and gay.
Yeah, fake and gay.
But
shout out.
Yeah, exactly. That's the world we live in now, world that's permeated by social media, and people are less social than they've ever been in their life. The social media is inherently not social.
Yeah.
And in fact, when used in place of actual community, causes the user, because we're all like basically users of these right. services, to be essentially overwhelmed with loneliness and antisocial experiences.
Yeah.
So just as reality shows were completely unrealistic, social media is profoundly antisocial, at least when consumed the way most people consume. This idea iron sharpening iron is something that really COVID showed us this probably better than anything else.
Yeah.
That face to face life it's not a nice to have, it's a must.
Yeah.
You must be living in community face to face with people. Otherwise you will find yourself in these surveys where you're feeling lonely and cut off and without that community.
Right. So, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that's where we were and now where we're going.
Yeah.
I would love to hear your thoughts on this just from a different generational perspective, but I'm seeing like this huge vibe shift. And I don't know if the vibe shift is necessarily against social media. Mm-hmm. It might be. I think COVID helped a lot of people recognize, okay, social media is profoundly not social. But I feel like there's this huge vibe shift amongst men and women to recognize the strengths and the gifts that we've been given as such. Because for the past 100 years, we've been told that men and women are interchangeable, they're the same, anything men can do, women can do, and vice versa. But we know reality speaks entirely different to that. And one of the profound gifts that God has given women in general is the ability to build communities.
Right.
It's literally built into their physiology. They can build people.
Yeah.
Men don't have that ability, obviously, physically, and even more so, men tend to not be the community builders.
Right.
And that has to do with our gifting, which is competitiveness. And what is competitiveness but a dividing of winners and losers, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to beat you at this, and you're going to lose, and we're going to separate somewhat a form of hierarchy.
Yeah.
And so men seem to understand that you can have actually great community in those kinds of like somewhat what you call them destructive hierarchies, where you have winners and losers, and you know, men are able to sharpen one another in that. Whereas the gift and the glory of women is to build community and bring people together and get consensus. And those are good things. Both are very good things.
Yeah.
But men tend to, when they isolate themselves, all of those competitive tendencies, they don't go away. They just become very destructive.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think we see men particularly getting hit the hardest by this kind of social media world that kind of seems to almost encourage like a lonerism, so to speak.
Right.
So has that been kind of your experience?
Yeah, I definitely think after COVID, the push to be like, man, let's get together, let's do our thing, that is coming back in full force. And people are caring less about like, I don't care what people on social media say about me. I don't care what my liberal college friends say about me.
Right.
This is what I believe. Mm-hmm. And as that has become more, you know, it's a rebellious kind of attitude that's coming on. And that can be a good thing in some ways when you're rebelling against evil and kind of fighting against that. But it is starting to go that direction where it's like, man, I'm like, I'm going to be a man and I don't care what you say about it.
Yeah.
So, which is good. I mean, that is a good thing to be rebellious against, is the culture telling you to be effeminate and you know, just mentally castrated in this little world that you're living in. You have to follow the rules.
Seeking consensus. That's a profoundly, it's not wrong to seek consensus, but it's just, it's more of a feminine trait.
Right.
And for a long time, our society has been ordered around the idea of like, if you can't seek consensus in all things, then you are, you know, you're defective in this society and we push you to the edges. That, I think, is shifting, and people are recognizing, man, the glory of young men is their strength.
Yeah.
And we actually want men who can rise up and lead and aren't afraid to do that, and who can come alongside one another, because we need, because we have this competitive spirit, because we have this this tendency to either be a leader or to recognize good leaders and follow them.
Right.
Those are things that are uniquely I shouldn't say they're uniquely male, but that's something that we function in a world of respect.
Yeah.
Either we garner respect or we give respect.
I mean, you see that from the time that boys are little kids. Like,
yeah.
They're fighting it out on the playground to see who's going to be the alpha.
Yeah.
And then they fall into the role. They find their place.
Right.
And it comes through struggle. But a lot of times I feel in this culture, like, no, Johnny, don't fight. Don't fight.
Right.
Like, and there's a level where they shouldn't be fighting.
Sure.
But they shouldn't be bullying and those types of things. But there's a healthy level where they have to find their place. And that's throughout all of life.
Right.
You can't expect that things are going to be given to you, even on the playground.
Yeah.
You have to earn your status there. And then you fall into your role. And you discover that you're happiest in that role.
Right.
That same principle follows you throughout life, whether you're going to be a manager, whether you're going to be a manual laborer, just those types of things. You find that,
absolutely,
and then you're like, you operate in that role. But if you're unable to discover that and learn those principles when you're younger, that's going to be much more difficult for you in life.
Yep. And the whole alpha, I love the whole alpha beta. You know, like, that whole distinction of like, oh yeah, this guy's an alpha in this. But I think sometimes the guys like us can miss the point of that discussion is that you might have an alpha personality where you just want to be the best at everything, and you and that actually can be a destructive personality trait if you are like never willing to follow someone else.
Right.
That means basically you have to be the best in every single thing you ever do. And so generally that tends to get men to only focus on those things where they can be the best, and they are like kind of hamstrung by that.
Right. Yeah.
But if you recognize this idea, this hierarchy of like, you are going to be the best in some things and you're not going to be the best in other things, and you'd be really good to develop your strengths so that you can be the best in the thing that you're good at.
Right.
but also develop your ability to follow other men who are better than you in a certain thing. Like, have the kind of courage, the kind of masculine largeness to be able to recognize, I can't bench press as much as this guy.
Yeah.
So if we go working out together, I'm a lot older than him, but I'm going to follow him. I'm like, Giovanni, what are we doing? Like, how do we get huge?
Yeah. You'll make up for it in the run part.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. So yeah, you fall into your roles, and we can kind of quickly got just on that point of like how we start off when we're around you. I want to quickly address like the way we were created to be social. God told Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. And right there, you start building a community. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where the jumping off point for where we're at today in the necessity for community. You look at the historical family structure, right after they lived in groups. Mm-hmm. When God told Abraham to leave his father, that was a big thing. It was a big task for Abraham to leave his family structure and the support system he had there, all his friends, and the community that they had. But then he goes and starts his own.
Yeah.
And you have the descendants from there and that close knit. I think just quickly addressing the historical need for it and the principles that we've seen throughout history that we have in the Bible as examples.
Yeah. In on top of that, it's not good for man to be alone. And then it says, God made a helper suitable for him. And for this reason, what will man do? He will leave his mother and father.
Yeah.
He'll find a wife, he'll cleave to her, and they'll start a new family unit. Then they repeat that cycle.
Yeah, right.
So there's like this, it's not just like this this ingrown type thing where there's only one patriarch and everybody else just has to toe the line until he dies. It's like, no, there is like a, you raise up sons and daughters, they go off, they start their own family units.
Yeah.
And community spreads, it fills the earth, but it doesn't do it through like an isolationist
thing
where everybody is just going off and doing their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the principles start when you're learning from your father and you're learning how to do community right.
Yep.
And then it spreads out from there. If you never have that example, you leave your father and you go start a non-community. You just go off by yourself and
you become a Reddit moderator.
Yeah. An Anon just on the 8chan or whatever it is now.
That's right.
Keyboard warrior. Building up the historical like examples that we have for building community, the necessity to engage with other men and be challenged by other men. Mm-hmm. We see that in scripture. So that's kind of where we were at historically, and then where we are now with the kind of degradation of society. Like you addressed kind of the short term and the kind of the coming back from it that we're at after COVID. I think you can kind of categorize it into two groups, individual and then social.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can isolate yourself individually from other people, but then there's groups that you could form that isolate yourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think individually you got obviously the internet, social media, entertainment, where you can find your little niche and be comfortable there and isolate yourself even from your family. In just being on your screen, being on your phone, being in your own little world, and never really challenged. I've met people who, when they have a conversation with somebody else, whether it be theological debate, whether it be a political debate, they're unable to communicate with somebody who has a differing opinion.
Yeah,
And that also lends itself to the group isolation as well. You pick a group, you're never really challenged by that. Your echo chamber is that because you don't have the community mindset that, like, we're all made in the image of God, and that person might have an opinion, and that opinion is valuable to you, even if it's different.
Mm.
So,
like, strength training versus cardio.
Yeah.
Right.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Don't come at me with your cardio.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm actually. Yeah. No.
No, you're absolutely right. And again, not to just bash on social media because we live in a social media world.
We're doing social media right now.
We're doing social media right now. So it's reality. It's like it's there. But the thing just to be aware of is that it mimics reality. So you can think like I've got community. You can think that you have something when you actually in reality don't have. It's not nearly as strong as you think it is. And again, going back to like what COVID taught us is that a lot of our in-person relationships and community weren't that strong either. until COVID came along and kind of blew it all up. And and all of us, you know, you had to forsake all of those things. And you're like, wait a second, this stuff is actually a lot more important than I recognized.
Right.
And so the problem with social media is just missing the fact that it can short circuit the whole thing and make you think you've got community when you don't.
Right. Yep.
And then you, of course, you kind of lose your ability to connect with the broader reality of life.
Right.
So, we talk about, sometimes when you have these discussions, you can talk about things like ideals. So a man shall leave his father and mother, he shall be joined to his wife, the two shall become one, they'll start a family, they'll have kids, then they'll do the same thing. And that's the ideal.
Right.
That's a really good thing. And if you can do that, that's what you should do. It's good for a man. When he finds a wife, he finds a good thing.
Yeah.
That's not where everybody is, though. The ultimate community is not in the family structure. The ultimate community is not even in your national pride.
Yeah.
As good as national pride is and should be cultivated, your ultimate community really is found in the body of Christ, which is the church.
Right.
So I'm not sure if you're going to get to that.
You're skipping
here.
Ahead.
I'm skipping ahead. Okay.
That's fine.
All right. Well, I won't jump ahead there yet, but we'll get to that.
So. Yeah. But like you're saying, the ideal, we're talking about community and the helpfulness of that. But you have examples in Scripture of people who were isolated and they felt lonely. You got Moses, David, Jeremiah, all three of them voice their isolation and loneliness and the depression that comes with that. They voice it to God. But then right after they voice those opinions, they're like, I'm finding strength in you because I have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so even in this, the isolation that they were called to, like you're saying, the faith and the church are where they found their purpose and their answer to that, those feelings of isolation and depression.
Sure.
So we can go right into the how we build it, how we fix it. We've talked a little bit about just kind of where we've been and the struggles that people are facing in this isolation chamber. So how do we build community?
There's lots of good ways of building community. I've already kind of tipped my hand to the church as being primary. But before you even get to that, if you're at a position where you can get married and you can find yourself a wife, or if you're a girl watching this, you can find yourself a husband. Like, those are good things.
Yeah.
The family unit is fundamental to every society. I was only mentioning the fact that there are many men who have gone through the meat grinder of the family court system who would love to have all of these things, these ideals that we're talking about. But they're just at a spot now where that ship has sailed, and they don't have custody of their kids anymore, or whatever it might be. That's where the church is kind of the ultimate place that we can always find our family.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the church is kind of referred to as the mother of us all.
Yeah.
Because in the church, everyone has the same father and our Father in heaven. We all have the same elder brother, Jesus Christ. And we all have that same unity of the Spirit, that bond of peace that draws us all together. So regardless of where you are now, the church is your first place that you should be looking for community.
Right.
It's not the only place, and it's not the end for all community, but that's kind of the fount at which all community springs forth from, either good community or what we've seen in a lot of American culture. We've seen as the church goes, so goes the culture, and so we've got a lot of reclaiming to do.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But a church, it would be a primary source for building out other community.
Yeah. I see it as somebody like an atheist or agnostic who doesn't necessarily believe in God, but they or the Bible, but they apply biblical principles to their lives, and you see like incremental benefits. So they see,
sure,
because they have that purposefulness, that general revelation of like, if you apply these principles, you do well.
Yeah.
So you can kind of look at that same tier. If you find like a good political affiliation, you find a good group,
right?
Like, you start feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
You find a good gym where you start making friends,
right,
and start to feel better. But the ultimate tier, where everybody should be, where they're actually going to find purpose and community, is in the church.
Yeah.
Is all striving for that common bond for the glorification of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So that's kind of how I see it. And you can apply, we can call for, hey, find a group, start working, those types of things. But if you're not a believer, if you're not plugged into a church, you're going to keep striving for that community, and you're at some point it's going to be vanity to you if you're not plugged in to a growing, thriving, uplifting church.
Yeah, and the reason for that is because communities by nature are built up of people, made up of people, and people, right. As Jerry Seinfeld says, people, they're the worst. Yeah. You know, so if you're in a community, that doesn't solve all your problems, and in many cases, it just compounds them. You just have now all of the problems that come with community, which is like people are sinful and they hurt your feelings, and so that's why the church is kind of a primary source. Like you start there, and then your other communities build out from there. Not everybody in a church is going to be a part of the same exterior kind of communities outside of the church. But because you begin in an area that is built upon the forgiveness of Christ, which we are, you know, we're specifically told that if we don't forgive others the way Christ has forgiven us, we won't be forgiven. Right. You know, like, so you can't do community without there being all kinds of snarls of sin.
Yeah.
And so community in and of itself is not some magic amulet. Right. You need to have community with the Spirit of Christ amongst
absolutely.
You.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, because you can have, you know, you can have these things of, like you were saying, go find a gym, go meet with people. Like, those things are good.
Right.
But eventually they're going to fail you.
Yeah.
Because we all fail each other. Like, that's just the reality of us being simple people.
Yeah.
But Christ doesn't.
Yeah.
And where do you find Christ? You find Christ in the church because that's where his body is.
Right. Yep, absolutely. I mean, 51% of unaffiliated, non-affiliated, like, religious people felt 51%, and people who were affiliated with a religion felt 71% more connected. So, like, that's pretty significant.
That's very,
I don't know what religions they were feeling a part of, but...
Yeah. Right.
I can tell you, especially if you're part of a Bible-believing Christian... Yeah. Church, that's where you're going to feel the most fulfilled.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. In the health and fitness world, it seems like in the health and fitness world, you have some folks that are very borderline religious in their fervor for what they're doing.
Right.
So it's the kind of thing where oftentimes, I think if people are non-religious, atheists, or maybe not openly atheistic, they're just not connected with anything religious-wise. They get into the health and fitness world, and that becomes in many ways just like they have a very religious zeal for religious fervor. When you, what are some of the areas? And this is just a question I've wondered because I've grown up in the church and this has been my perspective my whole life. What are some of the areas where you most find community letting you down when you are in, say, the CrossFit community? Just because that one happens to, in my mind, be a one where people are very, very kind of religiously fanatical about this. And not just CrossFit, but lots of things like that. What are some of the areas where you have seen people kind of be let down by those things? As opposed to where the maybe the overall cons outweigh the benefits?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're the type of person that just like looks up to an influencer and they're telling you to do all these things and then you start doing your own research and you find out, well, that's they were just trying to sell whatever. Right. I think that's the biggest thing. You start out at 15, 16 years old and you're with all your friends and you're all listening to this one guy and it's like, he's got the way. I'm in the gym for 2 hours a day and this is what I'm doing and you feel great. And then you start researching some stuff and you're like, well, that's actually not even close to accurate and how I should be training at all for where I'm at because I'm not taking steroids. So that type of stuff where it's like, and then I think you can do the same thing with like a political affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be super tied to Donald Trump or whatever. And then he says something, and you're like, oh man, really? Like, because he's fallible and not everybody's going to agree, like believe the exact same thing that you do, but when you put them on that pedestal, it's just like a letdown. It's like, well, what have I even been doing this entire time?
Right.
I think that's probably like the biggest example of that. Like when you never want to meet your heroes.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. No, that's good.
But
on the flip side, though, when you go to the gym, it seems like there's especially. I'll just speak to the men because that's the experience that I know. It seems like within men there's a real genuineness in like wanting to encourage one another towards like their highest good,
right.
at least in the gym, or right. like, you know, to get that extra rep in or to get those extra plates on. Is that something that when you take training by yourself versus mm-hmm. training with a partner,
yeah.
or, you know, someone else,
right.
are you seeing in your own experience better gains and whatnot when you have
yeah.
a partner?
Yeah, I think it's especially so when you're doing something like CrossFit, where it's like you're mentally pushing yourself. You're not necessarily reliant on like the physical barrier of like benching 315 or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, because not everybody's going to be able to bench 315. If you can bench 315 and your buddy can't, you might not be as pushed to.
Right.
But when it's like a mind thing, like I'm feeling really tired, I don't want to run this last 100 yep. meter sprint to yep. finish this workout,
yep.
but your buddy's running it. That's yep. when it's like
right.
you have that urge to compete.
Yep.
And that's where you experience that push. And it's like,
I'm not going to let him yeah. down by right. giving up early.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Or yeah. let myself down and feel terrible because I could definitely have done that.
Yeah.
yeah right. I mean, it's 10 seconds. It's yeah. it's a 10 second sprint. I couldn't have sprinted for 10 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
But
10 seconds for you.
yeah. Well, I mean, maybe a 10 second sprint's pretty fast.
That's
for 100 meters.
For 100 meters.
So maybe it's like 12, 13, 14 seconds. But yeah. So yeah,
absolutely. So like walk us through like how much of your own training
yeah.
is specifically connected with other people and how much of your own training is on your own?
Well, the last few months I've actually been struggling a lot with lift because I hurt my shoulder.
Mm.
And so it's like, I was going to the gym for a little bit, but I'd go in there and just be doing like some light lifting and stuff.
Right.
And it's just like, I feel like a pansy in here. like what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like all these guys that
you get used to it yeah. after a while.
All these guys that was lifting with before keeping up with
yeah.
their weight.
Yeah.
And now I'm in there like, so I've been just working out alone, working, and there's
okay.
there is a benefit to like I'm locked in,
absolutely.
I'm grinding here,
yep.
And there's times and seasons for these types of things.
Yeah.
But just recently we started working out with my buddies. We're building a garage at my
okay
the garage gym at my dad's place.
Yeah.
Which hopefully have that finished in a couple of weeks. But yeah, so it's like I want to get back into that,
mm-hmm.
and because sometimes with lifting, everybody kind of is on a different plan.
Yep.
So you can kind of throw in a workout here or there with a buddy,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times you have your own goals with lifting that are pretty specific and might not translate well to working out with your buddy.
Yeah.
But something like a CrossFit cardio
right,
HIIT workout, that's universal.
Everybody's doing the same
thing. And it's only mentally hard.
Yeah.
There's not like a physical barrier to entry there.
Right.
Like, we can all do a sprint on an air bike or
yep.
sprint on a rower or yep. something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You gotcha. Can, we can all slam the medicine ball 15 times. So like where there's that, it's just, that's the type of thing where training with partners and buddies that are like there to keep you accountable. It's like, no, you actually didn't do 12 reps there.
Mm.
Finish your reps, buddy. Cause I actually did 15 and I'm going to come to the end of
right.
the workout.
Yeah.
So
kind of, there's a sense in which you are, you know, holding one another accountable,
yeah,
but doing it in a way of like, don't let me down. Also, like, have some respect for yourself because
right.
I want to keep respecting
yeah.
you
right.
because you're going to do what you said
yeah.
you're going to do.
Right, exactly. And if you have, it's much harder. I will say, if when I was lifting with people at the gym, like if I didn't want to show up at 4 o'clock at night or I didn't want to show up at 6 o'clock in the morning to lift, that's when it's like, okay, we're showing up to lift, even if we're not lifting together,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of thing that's super helpful when
yeah.
you have other men that are just challenging you to do the thing that you don't want to do.
Okay, so now shift gears a little bit.
Yep.
Tell our listeners, how important is having like a coach in all of this?
I think a coach could definitely be super helpful. Shout out Anthony Deal. He's been my coach. And the last few months, he's been working with me. He's been pushing me. I always get his DMs like, hey, man, check in. So it's like not everybody needs a coach because not everybody has like super specific goals that they're trying to do, but it is helpful if
yeah.
you're like he's worked with a bunch of people that know, and he knows what metrics look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can track progress and he sees, he's like, I've seen this before. I've seen that. Here's where you'll be in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so, cause sometimes if you're just doing it alone, you might not be looking at your stats from 8 weeks ago,
mm.
but he's looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
yep.
kind of that hey, I would like to see this. You haven't lost this much weight here. You haven't put on this much weight on the bar in a while. So
right.
Are you not going as hard on your workouts or what's going on?
Yeah.
So I think having a coach is pretty important.
If you can swing it, because it's obviously not free.
Yeah.
If you can swing it financially, it seems like what Anthony was, I think what you told me was that like the vast majority of his clients, and I would imagine this is probably true for a lot of coaches, are not like, you know, not necessarily guys like you who are really training to for you know, very specific, you know, they just want to be fit. They just want to be, you know, prevent injury, things like that.
Yeah.
So it seems like there is a level of accountability, even if you're just like getting started, having a coach for like a month or two or three or something like that could be hugely helpful, because it's kind of like, it's not the same thing as community.
Yeah.
But it's almost the same. It functions very similar.
Right. There's accountability there.
Yeah. You're essentially like, okay, instant community. I maybe don't have a gym bro to go with.
Yeah.
But I can at least get a coach to start it.
Yeah.
And then from there, there's kind of a jumping off point almost.
For sure.
Because if you're a guy like me who spends no time in the world of the gym bro, like you could be intimidating to like not go in there and not talk the talk or not know all of the but you have to start somewhere so when you start, sometimes that could be a place to start. If you didn't have like a natural, if you didn't start at 15 years old, everybody listening to the same guy kind of thing.
Because there is a lot of research that you have to do, like even just for a chest day. It's like I want to go in there and I want to spend my time wisely, but I don't necessarily have like 3 hours to build a perfect chest workout, and that takes time, and that it's a lot of research. So having a coach to be like, hey, let's start you off here, and I mean, titrate you up to a spot that's going to be super, going to be good. It is beneficial.
Right. Nice. So,
kind of what I want to leave people with is, purpose, discipline, kind of is super important. But it is also helpful when you have a community push you in those areas, and especially a church. Because I think if we're talking about, we can talk about physical discipline and we can talk about like mental discipline and those types of things. But spiritual fitness is a super big area for it, and it flows into all areas. If you're having, we kind of talked about this a couple episodes ago, but if you have a spiritual mindset and you're like, the things that I'm doing are for Christ and for the kingdom, that's going to like flow into your life in many different ways. It's going to impact your discipline. It's going to impact your impact the people around you. And the more that you are praying, reading the Bible, fellowshipping with other believers, the more you're going to value those types of things. Mm. And allocate your time properly and wisely to the things and to the areas in your life that you need to improve. So I think get yourselves plugged into a church. Do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves, because it's super important. And I think if you set your mind on that, you're going to be much better off in the long run, spiritually, mentally, physically, all those types of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if your church is the kind of church that does not encourage, you know, men to be masculine, find a church that does.
Yeah.
They do exist.
Yep.
It might not be the norm, but you want to find a church that is not afraid of men being masculine, because just simply being a part of a church again is not some magical amulet.
Yeah.
You've got to find a good God-fearing church that recognizes the gift that men are to this world.
Yeah.
And men, if you're listening, you are a gift to this world if you use those that strength that God has given you for His glory.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a level of personal dedication that you need to have too. It's you can't just walk into a church expecting that they're going to fix all your problems and automatically you're going to have discipline and all that kind of stuff. There's a level of like personal time of study and discipline that goes into like you're part of a body, and you can't walk in there being, what can they do for me?
Yep. The primary mindset should be, what can I do for this church? So like when you join a church, you should be joining it to seek the peace and prosperity of that body of believers. Right. That is key, that you recognize that you're not there just to be served, although if it's a good church, you will be served there. You are there so that you can be a servant to many as well.
Yep. Absolutely.
Could I just finish with one? This is because we're talking about community and just how important community is. Proverbs 18:1 says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." And guys, this is such an important thing, to not isolate yourself, because I have seen it in friends of my own who have isolated themselves, high-functioning alpha guys who isolated themselves because of their commitment to excellence and their commitment to just dominating in their industry.
Yeah.
And they just went off a cliff mentally. And it's even led some of these men that I know to suicide. So isolating yourself from the rest of the world is a very big deal. And it's something we want to guard ourselves against.
Yeah.
And so don't isolate yourself. Don't break out against all wise judgment. Yep. Find your community.
Yep.
And the key to finding good community is being willing to serve others.
Yeah, absolutely. Be humble, find some tough men, challenge yourselves.
I think
that will go a long way to improving guys' life. The Athos motto, the ascent to excellence, all that good stuff. So
Amen. Thank
you guys for joining us. Thank you, Joe, for taking your time. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. We're going to be cranking these out more often and more frequently, and hopefully you guys can see those. So, but thank you guys for joining us. Have a great day.